This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Welcome back. Clemson, Florida State this weekend, 3:30 kickoff, ESPN. Tigers favored by 9.5. And the irony in Dabo calling out the fans. That's what he did. He called out the fans. Like, he gives this impassioned speech about Clemson's going to be back and,
right,
you know, all is well and there's a lot of football left and I want everybody to just relax. And then he goes to the end of it. He goes to the end of it. And he talks about the real fans.
Yeah.
You know, well, I want everybody, I want to challenge everyone to really kind of check their perspective and and all this stuff. And look, yeah, times are different. It's a new normal 2021 for Clemson football. And indeed, this things might have reversed itself eventually. But it's 1 year.
Yeah.
It's one season. And I know it seems probably worse because of all the success they've had, the incredible success. I mean, you reach a point where you get used to that. Any kind of drop-off is just going to seem like the sky is falling. But think about this. How do they feel at Tallahassee? You talk about they've had struggles. They've had problems. They've had how many coaches? I mean, it's not been good, but it's been better lately. Florida State started off 0-4, have won 3 in a row. I'm wondering what the heck has happened down there. We're going to ask our guest, joining us now on the Saitama Hotline. He covers Florida State football for the Tallahassee Democrat. Kurt Weiler, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Kurt, what are they doing down there? What, they start 0-4, now win 3 in a row. What's the difference?
I mean, what the coaches would point to, and I would say rightfully so, is yes, 0-4 is 0-4. And especially, I mean, you look at the Jacksonville State loss, it's inexcusable. But of those four, three of them are one-score games. Two of them come down to the last play. So, I mean, they saw a team that was close. And, yes, it shouldn't have been close with the Jacksonville State in the first place. But Notre Dame, they almost won that game. Louisville, they're down 31-7, and they cut it all the way to 31-23, and the last drive stalls out because of a turnover. And so, I mean, I think there's something to be said for kind of the intangible of what a win could do for the confidence of this team. And I mean, it's impressive. You talked about the 0-4 and then the 3 straight. They're the first ACC team to ever do that.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive in and of itself, especially for a guy like Mike Norvell, who's still getting accustomed to how things roll in Tallahassee. Kind of describe to us what it's like to coach in that environment, because let me tell you, and my young protege here, Trent, he might not be aware, but there is a real thing called FSU Twitter, dude, and it will burn you up. How's he handling all that kind of stuff?
I mean, I don't know how much he concerns himself with it, frankly. You're right. I mean, you talk about I think the fan base knew that Mike Norvell was going to get time, but when they started the year 0-2 and then 0-3 and then 0-4, there was definitely a building sense of frustration of like, man, I definitely felt better about this than the last one than Willie Taggart, but it sure has not panned out. And I would say there were some people who either quit on Mike Norvell or at the very least, We're out on him for the time being, kind of in the wake of that start. But I think he's brought some back in. That North Carolina game, I mean, not just that it happened, but how convincing a win it was. And then, I mean, obviously, he's got a chance this weekend to really get a lot of people on the bandwagon.
Yeah, kind of walk us through that North Carolina game. I mean, how much more leash was he granted by pulling that win off? Not only to beat North Carolina, but to really get things going in a positive direction and, of course, blow the doors off UMass the next week?
I mean, his leash is fine as far as the administration is concerned. I mean, Florida State's still paying Willie Taggart's buyout through the end of 2023, and they really can't afford to take on a second buyout. So the truth of the matter is he was going to get time. And honestly, the recruiting class that he has, regardless of what was kind of expected this season, because really this, I mean, the Vegas line for this team was set at 5.5. This was projected to be a borderline bowl team, and it seems like they might still be. I mean, it's entirely possible. I think you're looking at a team that's 5-7. You look back at that Jacksonville State game, is kind of what kept them out of a bowl eligibility or at six wins at the very least. So, but no, I mean, it definitely helped in terms of, I think, people seeing real progress. Now, I mean, obviously that wasn't the North Carolina team of last year. They lost a lot of offensive weapons, but they brought back the entire defense. And then, I mean, Florida State's offensive personnel is not kind of what it once was. And Mike Gravel definitely, despite that, kind of built the identity. And you're seeing that.
Yeah, work me through that as well. What is Florida State? Who is Florida State? What do they want to be?
Well, the problem, I would say, for Florida State in this game against Clemson is Florida State has definitely built an identity around running the ball. I mean, obviously, a guy like Jordan Travis, who Clemson hasn't faced yet because it's been so long. He's started, I mean, the better part of 12 games now at quarterback between last year and this year. But Clemson hasn't faced him yet. But he, I mean, extremely mobile. One of the more athletic quarterbacks probably in the country, just with what he can do, his escapability and stuff like that. And then they've got a stable of running backs in Jayshon Corbin and Trayshon Ward. I mean, I think six of the seven games this season now, they've gone over 200 yards. The problem, obviously, being against Clemson, it's going to be hard to run consistently. You're definitely going to have to kind of pass to run against a team like Clemson. And regardless of that, I mean, it's just going to be hard against that defensive front. So it'll be interesting because, I mean, the wide receivers, they had a good game against North Carolina, but they are probably the weakness of the offense as a whole. Just, I mean, they're going to get asked to win one-on-ones, and we'll see if they can do it. They'll probably need to for Florida State to win.
You know, Kurt, one of the perceived weaknesses, and it's not even perceived, it's a fact, from Florida State over the past few years has been its lack of depth, its lack of maybe even Power 5 quality players across the offensive line. How well is Mike Norvell develop that, not only from a recruiting standpoint, but from a development standpoint?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's been notable progress there. I mean, there's been, they have an interesting mix where, I mean, they have, I'm thinking they're going to start 2 6-year seniors and then three guys who are either second or third year players. It's an interesting mix kind of the experience. And then also, I mean, I think both tackles are going to be. I think one's a redshirt sophomore and one's a redshirt freshman. So the depth, I would say, is not where he wants it to be. I know he came into the year talking about thinking he had eight guys he thought he could rely on. They suffered some early injuries that really hurt the offensive line, but they have had the starting unit or a better unit lately. They may be without Dylan Gibbons, the Notre Dame transfer for Saturday, but they would plug in a player. I think they have about six guys they trust. It is notably better than it has been. They're especially good at run blocking. Pass blocking has been a struggle. But, I mean, like I said, with how well Florida State's run the ball, I mean, they are, for the first time in a while, you're starting to feel okay about the future of that unit.
You know, Kurt, I'm wondering this. I'm of the belief that when it comes to offensive linemen, they have to be in the system for years because it's such a mature position physically. You've got to be able to develop physically. You have to have time. You have to have years in the weight room, at the training table, so on and so forth. When you have a freshman or even a redshirt freshman that gets significant playing time, that's like winning a lottery. And I'm wondering this, given the fact that it does take so many years to develop offensive linemen, how much does the lack of depth across the offensive line, maybe not this year, but last year, year before that, falls at the feet of Jimbo Fisher? Seems to me he left the cupboard completely bare.
I mean, a lot of that, yes, falls at the – I mean, there was a class, I'm trying to remember the top of my head, I want to say it was maybe the 2016 class. They took, like, six linemen, and just, like, very few of them panned out. I think the one that did is still around is Davion Johnson. But other than that, I mean, they haven't really – It's not just, I mean, not bringing in guys, but it's missing on or not being able to develop the guys they brought in. And I mean, I think you can question a lot about how kind of a Jimbo Fisher's tenure ended, but that's definitely something. And I would say it's something that Willie Taggart didn't entirely help in some areas. And that, I mean, I know they've got, I think, four or five offensive linemen right now committed for next year. So they're still realizing they've got to kind of build up that depth and addressing that problem.
It's Kurt Weiler, the Tallahassee Democrat. You can follow him on Twitter at Kurt M. Weiler. Kurt, going forward, what is the expectation total for the rest of the season with regards to wins? I'm looking at the schedule now. How do you see Florida State matching up with NC State, Miami, BC, and Florida? Well, obviously Florida. That's a rivalry game, last game of the year. How do you see that one specifically?
That one, I mean, the real thing is, who knows who a lot of these teams are? I mean, this was definitely a schedule coming into the year where I think me and a lot of other people looked at, well, they better be about 4-1 if they want a chance to go bowling, just because of how brutal the back half of the schedule looked. It hasn't entirely panned out that way. I mean, obviously Clemson's not what Clemson has been. Florida seems like it's taken a noticeable step back. They're going to be somewhat notable underdogs in both those games. I mean, they're not going to go – it's not going to be like a toss-up by any means in that game at Florida. But that they've got chances there. But Boston College, if they don't have Phil Jurkovic, they've got a chance there. NC State, who knows? I mean, that Miami game last week was kind of a head-scratcher for them. And then Miami without Derek King, I mean – I don't think you're writing any of them off. Coming into the year, there were a couple where I was like, I don't think they have much of a chance to beat Florida. I don't think they have much of a chance to beat Clemson. I'm not saying they have a great chance in either. The problem if they don't win this weekend is to get to that six-win threshold, they got to win 3 out of 4, which it is by no means the murderer's row you thought it was going to be, but that's still, I mean, for a young team, that's still going to be hard to kind of play with that level of consistency, I would say.
And, Kurt, before we let you go, I brought it up, I mentioned it earlier, but I have to ask you this question. Being a beat writer that covers Florida State football, how have your interactions been with FSU Twitter?
They're mostly good with me. I mean, I would say Clemson Twitter. Those are probably the two ACC fan bases that may have the most reputation. I haven't really had a problem with them in quite a while. I know better than to poke the fire.
I haven't had a problem in quite a while. Yeah, that's a very, very diplomatic response to that, Kurt. Well done, sir. It's Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat. You can follow him on Twitter at Kurt M. Weiler. Kurt, appreciate you coming on, buddy. Thanks.
Appreciate you having me, Scott.
All right, appreciate it. It's Kurt Weiler of the Tallahassee Democrat on the Saitama Hotline.